Our reading today, as you can see on the screen, is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24, and it's on page 1177 of the Church Bibles. Ephesians 6, 10 to 24. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love joined with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you here again at St. Thomas's. And before we look at this incredible passage that has just been read for us, let's just bow our heads in prayer as we do indeed ask the Lord to speak to us. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks, who wants to speak to his children, and who wants to do so through the very written word that you have given us in the Scriptures. So, Father, open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a young boy, Saturday afternoons was very special for us as a family, because every Saturday afternoon, me and my dad would watch World of Sport on STV, because every Saturday afternoon, we would be watching the wrestling with the guys like Mick McManus, Jackie Palo, Giant Haystacks, Big Daddy, and the lovely Kendo Nagasaki. But the truth be told, I would say to my dad, "Dad, are they really wrestling together? They're bouncing one another off the ropes into half Nelsons and headbutts, and they just bounce back up and start hitting each other again. Was it all an act? Was it all part of the drama?" Well, there is one wrestling match that is real, and those of us who are disciples of Jesus are involved in this wrestling match. And we read from Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to look at that wrestling. In chapter 6, in verse 12, the apostle writes this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." In the New King James Version, it reads like this, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So that, in that verse 12, that word struggle is the word that Paul uses. It's the word wrestle. And Paul often used, didn't he, sporting metaphors in his letters to teach us deep truths. And in ancient Rome, wrestling was a popular sport that goes way back 700 years BC. And in one way, wrestling in the Roman army was a way of training soldiers for combat, for warfare. So Paul's readers would know about this, that these Christians are involved in a battle, in a wrestling match against the enemy. It's not a battle against people, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness, against the kingdom of Satan. I'm sure you will remember when Paul first visited the people of Ephesus, he encountered there a spiritual battle. And in Acts chapter 19, he talks about how he laid hands on 12 men to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he taught for 3 months in that Ephesus city, 3 months in the synagogue, teaching them about the King of God, the kingdom of God. And then he met great opposition. And so he moved location from the synagogue to Tyrannus, the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And for the next few years, he preached, not just in Ephesus, but around that whole region. Because scholars believe that Paul's letter to the Ephesians was not just to that congregation in Ephesus, but it was like a circular letter that was taken around the congregations in that region. So there was a real spiritual battle that Paul encountered when he was there in Ephesus, as we read in chapter 19. In chapter 19 of Acts, verse 19, Luke says this about the kind of spiritual condition of that community. In verse 19 of Acts 19, he says, "A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly." And he says it was to the worth of 50,000 drachma. That's a lot of sorcery. That's a lot of sorcery. And you know about the story of the silversmith Demetrius. He would make shrines and idols of silver to the goddess Artemis. And this successful businessman, Demetrius, he was in a panic. He was angry because Paul's preaching was turning people away from these false gods to the living God. And Demetrius was angry because his trade was affected, his profits were affected. And he began to create a riot, to incite a riot against Paul and other Christians. And we also read, don't we, later on in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Paul is talking to the elders in the church of Ephesus, this very church that he is writing about that we have been reading this morning. He says this to the elders, verse 28 of chapter 20 of Acts of the Apostles. Keep watch. That means be alert over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And then he gives this warning. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away the disciples after them. Verse 31, again he says this. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. This is what Paul was saying in Acts chapter 19 and 20 to the people at Ephesus. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, chapter 5, he says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Well, Peter said that, but look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It says, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. There we have it again. Be alert. The word alert means there could be an attack anytime soon. So be on your guard. But we also remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. He says that in the warfare that we are engaged in, he says the weapons of our warfare are not human, are not carnal, but are spiritual. They are mighty in the hands of God for pulling down satanic strongholds. So in that background, Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. We can't fight this battle on our own strength. So Paul says we are to be strong in the strength of God. And we know in Ephesians 3 and verse 16, just earlier in this epistle, Paul prays for these same Christians at Ephesus. And part of his prayer in verse 16 is that he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so Paul is saying, now, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. You don't have the strength to face this enemy or to engage in this battle with the enemy, this wrestling match. Let the Lord give you his strength that you might wrestle. And then he says this, here is this armor of God. We want you, he says in verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, not just bits. Don't just go with your shield, but not your sword. Don't just go on your shoes, but not the belt. Don't just go with your hat, your helmet, but not the breastplate. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to do what? To be able to stand against the enemy. And he uses that word, that phrase, to stand, on a number of occasions. On verse 13, he says, stand your ground. In verse 14, he says, stand firm with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, each of those pieces of armor would take a sermon in itself to open it up, and we haven't time to do this morning, as I want to focus on one particular area that Paul mentions in this passage. But we need to know that most of these weapons are for defense. The only one that is really for attack is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you need to remember, don't we, that Roman soldiers had no protection for the back, which means he must face the enemy face to face, no turning your back, because the enemy will see you vulnerable and attack you. But please look with me at verse 18 and following. Paul says here, the great necessity that we have for prayer. He says, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit, he begins. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Because, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to inspire us and to help us to pray those prayers that God wants to be released from our hearts. You remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. What is our weakness? What is the weakness that Paul is talking about? It's the weakness of prayer. He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through those wordless but inner groanings and longings. Isn't that wonderful? But I want you to notice the four alls in that passage from verse 18. We are to pray on all occasions. We are to pray all kinds of prayers and requests. We are to pray with all perseverance. Keep going on. And we are to pray for all the saints. All. And all prayer includes many different kinds of prayer, such as Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. He talked about prayers of supplication, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. And it is not a solo instrument simply to be played by one Christian on its own. Rather, it's an orchestration of prayer by the body of Christ together, as we gather together, as we will do this evening. There is such power there as all the instruments gather together and offer that prayer symphony to the Lord on all occasions, on all kinds of prayers and requests, all perseverance for all the saints. There is a saying, an army marches on its stomach. And I think that is attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, and I believe Frederick the Great. But this army of God does not march on its stomach. This army of God must march on its knees. Some commentators see prayer as the seventh weapon in the armor of God. Now, Paul doesn't call prayer a weapon, but we know that it is indeed that very thing. It is a powerful weapon as we come and pray to the Lord for breakthrough, for the enemy to be pushed back, for protection over his attacks. Without that prayer, we can't even begin to wage spiritual warfare, because the role of prayer is central and indispensable. Prayer is priceless to us who are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And you're probably saying, Bishop Ian, there you go again. You're on about prayer. Listen, I tell you, the reason for that, it is so vital. It is so important. And I want to encourage you, sisters and brothers, not to neglect not just your private prayers, but the community of God's people gathering together as a symphony of prayer. One Bible teacher and author, Priscilla Shira, says this: when Paul talks about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, prayer is the seventh piece of armor. It activates all of the rest of the spiritual armor. And when we refuse to pray, it's like having a refrigerator without plugging it in. Prayer is the divinely authorized mechanism that God has given us to tap into His heavenly power. Without prayer, we will be effective in spiritual warfare, but with it, we shall be victorious. I agree with that comment. Sadly, we know only too well, don't we, the reality of warfare as we see the way weaponry has developed and how it is being used this very day, especially as we see it on our screens, the rockets, the missiles, the drones, delivering catastrophic destruction. Seeing a missile that can be sent over thousands of miles to hit a tiny target like some flat in the middle of Beirut. Precision weapons causing devastation. Well, this weapon that we have of prayer can make amazing, enormous damage to the kingdom of darkness. One other commentator, Derek Prime, some of you might know, he says this: we may fairly call prayer our ICBM, our intercontinental ballistic missile. He goes on to say, focused prayer directed by the Holy Spirit can reach across continents and oceans and strike with unerring accuracy at any target assigned to it. Undoubtedly, it is the most powerful and the most effective of all the weapons in the Christian armor. Isn't that true? When we come together and when we blend our prayers together, we can see the attacks of the enemy thwarted. We can see his strongholds coming down, and we can see remove those hindrances and stumbling blocks that he has put in the way to stopping the gospel advancing. And it's happening right here at St. Thomas's in Edinburgh. The enemy wants to stop God's people advancing in the kingdom of God. Why did the early church gather as one to pray? Because they knew they were in a war, and we must be alert. We must wake up to the dangers and the attacks of the enemy on ourselves, our families, and our congregation. So can I ask you this? What has the battle looked like for you this week? What have you encountered as you have wrestled with the enemy? The enemy wants to discourage us, confuse us, intimidate us. He wants to, and he does, attack us on every side. He wants to attack our minds. We can go through all the pieces of armor that is there to protect us from the various attacks of the enemy. And he will attack your family. He will attack your marriage. He will attack your relationships. And he will attack us as a congregation. Especially, but not exclusively, the leaders of our congregations. You can see in the press church leaders who have fallen from grace. And it is a tragedy where once there was a strong Christian leader and now has fallen in some way or other and are no longer leading their congregations. It's mainly because the enemy has focused his attention on the leaders of that church. Because if he can get the leaders to fall, if he can get the leadership team to be divided, division and misunderstanding and jealousy playing its part, then he's winning a victory. Because he loves to sow discord, disagreement among fellow Christians. You know, he did it with the Israelites when they mourned and they grumbled. And they grumbled against each other and they grumbled against Moses. Then how often, and I bring it down here to us, here at St. Thomas's. How often have we seen the enemy cause relational fractures, maybe due to the words spoken and the words that have been misunderstood? One thing I am certain, that as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a soldier in his army, you will face and have faced that spiritual wrestling match with the enemy. Now, today, we commission Rob Cardew. And he comes as a proven godly leader and teacher. And brothers and sisters, we must pray for Rob, for Fern and Mia. And Rob well knows from his own understanding of Scripture and from his own experience that the enemy does not want his ministry to be fruitful, nor does he want this congregation to thrive. So we will be attacked, and we must hold up one another in prayer. As I said last time I preached here, C.H. Spurgeon, when asked what was the success of his ministry, he simply said, "My people pray for me." And that's what Paul says in verse 19 in this chapter 6. "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Here is Paul, the great man, and he is pleading with the Ephesians and with all of those who are reading this epistle, and this letter. "Will you please pray for me? I need prayer," he says. "I can't do this ministry without the prayer backing of God's people. I need God. And so please pray. Pray for me." I know that throughout my ministry, it was a joy to know that people were praying for me. Sometimes I would be going through a really rough time. And on the Sunday, some brother or sister would come up and say to me, "Do you know, I felt led to pray for you, Ian." "Really? When was that?" "On Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. "What, this Tuesday?" "Yes, this Tuesday." I said, "Did you know, on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., I was going through such a satanic battle, and you were praying for me, and I saw it through." What a joy that was for me. What a joy for anyone to say, to be prompted. Let the Spirit prompt you to pray, and don't ignore those promptings. You know, if somebody comes into your mind or a thought, it may be the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, pray for Jack. Pray for Sarah." And respond in that prayer. So we're coming to pray. And what I want to do is I close this prayer. And before I invite Rob to come and join me here at the front for our commissioning, I want to simply to pray. And as we pray, I want to lead you in a prayer for you, each one of you, through prayer, to put on each part of that armor of God. Would you do that with me? Let's just bow our heads as we pray together. Just a moment of quiet before we come to the Lord, thanking him for his word for us today and for the challenge that Paul gives us. Our Heavenly Father, you dealt our spiritual enemy a fateful blow in Calvary when you died on the cross for us and were resurrected on the third day. While evil still roams, the power of your name and your blood rises up to defeat and bring us victory against every evil planned against us. While malicious actions may disturb us, Father, this morning we take upon ourselves the armor of God which you have given us that we might stand firm. So today, I claim victory over Satan by putting on the armor of God. Now, please make this prayer your own. I put on the girdle of truth. May I stand firm in the truth of your word, so I will not be a victim of Satan's lies. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard my heart from evil, so I will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. I put on the shoes of peace. May I stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so your peace will shine through me and be a light to all I encounter. I take the shield of faith. May I discern Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so I will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. I put on the helmet of salvation. May I keep my mind focused on you so Satan will not have a stronghold on my thoughts. And I take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in my hands so that I can expose the tempting words of Satan. For today, I take all prayer with all supplication, with all perseverance for all the saints in the mighty and victorious name of Jesus. Amen.